Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your first order. During this hiatus in baseball, we are doing just episodes 3 days a week instead of five. Normally, this is a 5 days a week show, but for now, just three on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Shows are approximately 15 minutes in length, and we talk about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. And this week and next week, we're talking all about franchise what-ifs, and I think it's an extremely fun topic. It has us talking about subjects that we otherwise wouldn't be talking about. On Tuesday, we talked about what if the Giants hadn't made those fateful trades in the 2017 offseason to acquire Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen. So definitely worth a listen if you haven't checked that out yet. And today we're going to go back a little further in time and also look at a big moment in the history of this team and kind of the recent history and maybe a transformational type moment. And we'll look at what would have happened had they not done this. And so that moment is during the 2016 season, the trade of Matt Duffy for Matt Moore with Tampa Bay. So we're going to look at what the context was going into that trade, what happened afterwards during that season, and then what may or may not have been the long-term consequences of that deal. So the full backstory is that the 2016 season started off really, really well for the Giants. And keep in mind, 2016 was the year following Matt Duffy's breakout rookie season. Duffy had played 34 games in 2014 with the Giants, but in 2015 had started the year with the team, but not as like a starting level player. But then he eventually took over that third base job for Casey McGee, who didn't pan out. And Duffy ended up having just an incredible year. According to FanGraphs, 4.4 wins above replacement in 149 games, 612 plate appearances, hit .295, .334 on base, .428 slugging, 13% above average by weighted runs created plus. And just an excellent defender and a really good base runner as well that season. So just a great year for a young Matt Duffy there. And he was a fan favorite and looking like very much a piece for the future. I mean, there was no doubt. So then in comes 2016, and Duffy is not as good as he was the year prior. He was struggling. He was below average offensively, and he was dealing with injuries. Yet, the team itself was doing extremely well. At the All-Star break, the Giants were 57-33, which was the best record in all of baseball. They went on a run that was the greatest stretch in franchise history. I believe they went 40-15, which was the greatest 55-game stretch in Giants franchise history. So just everything going right for the 2016 Giants in the first half of the season, except, you know, and this it wasn't a big deal because they were playing so well, but Matt Duffy was not playing as well as he had the year prior. So prior to being traded, Duffy had played in 70 games with the Giants and had been 17% below average offensively and had been worth 0.8 FanGraphs wins above replacement in those 70 games. So kind of a non-factor, really. In fact, the Giants were getting somewhat similar production out of Connor Gillespie and Kelby Tomlinson. And Eduardo Nunez had been acquired probably as, you know, Matt Duffy insurance, which it ended up proving to be the case, obviously, because Duffy gets traded and then Nunez takes over that third base job. But still, I think there was a lot of hope that Matt Duffy would eventually like get healthy and come back to being a key piece for the Giants, whether it was a starter or maybe a utility guy who moved around. We all thought he was capable of playing shortstop because of how good he was defensively at third. Certainly he could play second. He could have been a guy who moved around, probably could have played in the outfield, except he was dealing with these injuries that were in his heel and his lower leg and foot. And so, you know, it was a troubling injury concern. And I think the Giants were right to be concerned, as we'll see looking forward to how this trade worked out. But so when the Giants made this trade, it was literally at the last minute. It was on July 31st, like minutes before the trading deadline. So at the deadline, the Giants' record was still 61-44. So they were still in strong position, but they had really stumbled out of the gates in the second half of the year after the All-Star break. Their pitching staff was comprised of Johnny Cueto, Madison Bumgarner, Jeff Samardzija, Jake Peavy, Ty Block, Albert Suarez, and Matt Cain. So they certainly had some question marks in the back end of the rotation, although Cueto was having that really strong year, his best year with the Giants, his first year with the Giants. Bumgarner was really good too. Samardzija had a strong year and threw over 200 innings. So Cueto, Bumgarner, and Samardzija each ended up with over 200 innings. But after that, there was a drop-off in talent with Peavy, Block, Suarez, and Cain. Even so, I mean, three strong starters at the front end, I guess I can see why the Giants ended up targeting and acquiring Matt Moore, maybe, but it's not standing out as a real significant need here. I guess they really thought that they were getting the best end of this deal, but Cueto was locked up long-term, Bumgarner was locked up for several more years, and Jeff Samardzija was just signed to that deal that he signed. So they had three controllable starters, and part of the appeal of Matt Moore was that he had multiple years of cheap control himself, so they must have really thought they were getting the best end of this deal. But anyway, here's what went down. On July 31st, right before the deadline, the Giants agreed to a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays that sent Matt Duffy along with infield prospect Lucius Fox and right-handed pitcher prospect Michael Santos to Tampa Bay in exchange for Matt Moore, the left-handed starting pitcher. So Moore was owed less than $5 million. In fact, way less. Like, that was his $5 million was his salary in 2016, and the Giants just owed what was left of it, which was about a third of it. And then he was under club control for three more years through club options for a grand total of just $26 million. So it was an attractive contract, but there were definitely some red flags with Matt Moore. So coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to look at what ended up happening and what may have been different had this trade not gone down. But first, I want to talk about Built Bar, which is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I cannot believe how delicious these things are considering the ingredients and how low they are in sugar and how high they are in protein. They've got 16 amazing flavors on BuiltBar.com. They've got 8 chocolate nut flavors and 8 chocolate nut-free flavors. And yes, the chocolate is 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which is a huge deal with bars like these. Some of them are grainy and hard to get down, but these bars are soft, easy to chew, and to me, the big kicker is the low sugar content. If you're a health-conscious person like me trying to stay fit, you know, in these crazy times when we're stuck indoors and maybe not able to exercise as much as we would like, the Built Bar is kind of the perfect thing to be eating right now in a quarantine. Just to give an example, the peanut butter brownie flavor has 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, and just 3 grams of sugar and 3 grams of net carbs. And it tastes like a candy bar. I just can't emphasize that enough. Anyway, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON and get $10 off at BuiltBar.com. This podcast is sponsored by the audiobook edition of 24, Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. In this reflective and inspirational memoir, the legendary Willie Mays shares the inspirations and influences responsible for guiding him on and off the field. Widely regarded as the greatest all-around player in baseball history, as Giants fans know, the beloved Willie Mays offers people of all ages his lifetime of experience meeting challenges with positivity, integrity, and triumph. This special audiobook production includes a foreword read by Bob Costas and a bonus conversation with Willie Mays and his co-author John Shea. Whether you miss seeing your favorite players on the field this season or are looking for the perfect Father's Day gift, 24 is the inspiring story of one of sports fans' favorite living legends. Buy the audiobook edition of 24 now, wherever audiobooks are sold. Okay, as promised, here in the second half, I want to talk about what ended up transpiring because of this deal, and we're going to look at an alternative universe in which this trade never happened. How would that possibly have changed things for the Giants? So what ended up happening was Matt Moore came over and pitched okay. He threw 68 and a third regular season innings and had a 4.08 earned run average with the Giants, 3.53 fielding independent pitching, which is pretty good, but a 4.28 expected fielding independent pitching, which is essentially saying that if he was allowing a normal rate of home runs, he actually wouldn't be so good. But he was striking out 24% of batters, had a command issue walking 11% of batters, but was able to keep the ball in the ballpark, which is probably what the Giants envisioned with him coming over from the AL East to the National League West, and specifically Oracle Park. So he provided solid production. I just think there wasn't as much upside as it would have maybe appeared to people who were remembering him from his days as a hyped prospect, but his peripheral numbers in Tampa in 2016 were really alarming. He was outperforming them massively over a recent stretch, and the Giants kept saying he was pitching very, very well, very, very well right now, but it looked to be a total fluke, and it kind of proved to be the case. He was fine with the Giants down the stretch, pitched very well in the postseason in that one start against the Cubs, and so if the Giants had not made that trade, they lose that game anyway because they ended up losing the game Matt Moore started that bumped them out of the postseason. So kind of a wash for the 2016 season itself. I think the Giants maybe got the better end of it in just 2016 because Matt Duffy didn't do anything with the Rays. He ended up barely coming back from his injury, had just 80 plate appearances with the Rays down the stretch in 2016, and was about 20% below average. But if we look ahead to what happened afterwards, so the Giants, of course, were picking up Matt Moore's club options, bringing him back, and then the next season did not go so well for Moore, and that would end up being his last season with the Giants. 2017, which was that awful 98 loss year, Moore had a 5.52 ERA with peripherals up in the high fours to low fives. So pitching like a true talent, 5 ERA pitcher, which was just not what the Giants had in mind. And they ended up trading Matt Moore in a salary dump deal in the 2017 offseason. And they used that freed up money to go out and acquire Andrew McCutchen and Evan Longoria. So there's a huge like ripple effect here for acquiring Matt Moore. But if they didn't have that contract anyway, then they still would have had that payroll flexibility to bring in those other players, assuming they hadn't spent it elsewhere, which is not necessarily a safe assumption because instead of picking up that club option in the 2016 offseason, Giants may have spent that approximately $9 million elsewhere. And if they did, maybe they wouldn't have been able to clear it as easily as they were able to clear Matt Moore. And maybe they don't go out and acquire Evan Longoria if they don't have that financial flexibility, because it was very publicly stated that they wanted to stay below the luxury tax threshold that offseason, and only by trading Matt Moore were they able to do so. But the real question is, what happened with Matt Duffy and the other players the Giants gave up? So it ended up not really being much of a big deal to move Matt Duffy. He had one strong season with Tampa, and that was 2018. He missed all of 2017, did not play a single game in the majors. So by that point, it was like anything the Giants got out of Matt Moore was better than absolutely nothing out of Matt Duffy. But in 2018, Matt Duffy did have a strong season in Tampa Bay, 560 plate appearances, a healthy year, 2.5 wins above replacement, according to Fangraphs. And the Rays were a pretty good team, and he was a part of it. But then in 2019, it was more of the same, more injuries, not playing well when he was out there, and they ended up cutting him loose this past offseason. And he caught on with the Texas Rangers. So not sure exactly how it would have played out had Duffy stayed in the Giants organization. But the fact is, he still wouldn't have been eligible for free agency. So they could have still controlled him on this team, and they could have had him in, you know, 2017, although he missed the whole year with the Rays. Who's to say if that would have happened anyway with the Giants? Had a strong 2018, Giants could have used that. And then more disappointment in 2019. So ends up being not that big of a deal losing Matt Duffy, even though at the time, and I should have said this earlier, at the time it was an emotional loss to trade Matt Duffy, who was such a popular and well-liked player and coming off just one season ago an extremely productive year. But so I think the real lasting impact is the other players the Giants gave up in that deal, Lucius Fox and Michael Santos. So Fox probably being the number one. And even then, it's not that big of a deal. He is currently rated by Fangraphs as the Rays' 27th best prospect. He's still just 22 years old. But, you know, according to Fangraphs' Eric Longenhagen, basically he doesn't see Fox as an impact player. There's questions about his ability to play shortstop well. There's questions about his bat. He's a switch hitter who's better from the right side, which is not the ideal side for a platoon. And basically, Longenhagen thinks he's more of a possible platoon bat from the right side and pinch runner. So that's not the profile of an impact player. But the point is, the Giants would prefer to have this type of depth in their system as opposed to just having nothing, which is what they ultimately have to show for the deal moving Matt Moore for Matt Duffy plus these others. So it's kind of like maybe you could make the case that instead of Longoria on their major league roster making what he's making, the Giants could have instead had a young Lucius Fox in their system. And I think there's no doubt if you look at what would be the better scenario for the current Giants, they'd rather have Lucius Fox in their minor league system as depth than be stuck with the contract of Evan Longoria. And there is a case to be made that could have been a consequence of that trade. So then looking at Michael Santos, he was with the Rays for just, you know, the second half of 2016 and 2017, but then ended up in the Angels organization where he pitched in Double A, as high as Double A in 2019. The write-up on Santos from Eric Longenhagen from this year is that he was a favorite of theirs when he was with the Giants, and he was part of Tampa's return for Matt Moore, but had a shoulder injury and was released. When healthy, he was 91-94, with a bevy of average secondaries and a chance one of the breaking balls would be above average at peak. So that's kind of, you know, moderately interesting write-up of a middling prospect. It's not like he's a top prospect. He's just a guy worth mentioning in the Angels organization at this point. But again, just like with Lucius Fox, would you rather have the minor league upside and talent and depth, or would you rather have whatever they got out of Matt Moore, which was, I guess, a chance to win the World Series in 2016? And so if they end up winning that series in Chicago, I mean, Moore would have had a lot to do with it because of how well he pitched in that one game. I mean, he was dominant in that one game against the Cubs. Who knows, if the Giants don't blow that ninth inning lead, maybe he gets a chance to pitch again and helps lead them to the World Series. So it's hard to say, but ultimately, I think this is a trade that was very big at the time, and it seemed really significant, but ultimately, it probably didn't have too much of a long-term impact because none of the players on either side, Matt Moore, Matt Duffy, Lucius Fox, or Michael Santos, will probably have too much of a major league impact moving forward. But that being said, we still don't know about Fox, we still don't know about Santos, and the Giants would have liked to have that opportunity to find out. And I do think it's super interesting to think about in the 2016 offseason, if the Giants don't have Matt Moore, they don't spend that $9 million on the club option, what do they do with that money? And so if they don't spend it, then maybe they still go out and try to acquire the contract of Evan Longoria the following offseason. But if they do spend it, it might have limited their ability to make that trade for Longoria. And so maybe if this Duffy trade never happens, the Giants never end up with Longoria. We don't know about McCutchen. That was kind of a separate deal, had to do with Span being moved. So who knows? I mean, there's a lot of what ifs, but I think ultimately as impactful as this trade felt and how it kind of actually feels a lot like it started the downward spiral of the Giants organization, that was more of like an emotional response. And I'm not so sure that the, you know, actual impact of the players involved reflects that belief. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Tomorrow, we're going to do another what if. I haven't decided exactly what it's going to be, but I promise I'll do my best to make it the most interesting what if we can possibly do for tomorrow's show. To get this show 3 days a week, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.